Okay, guys. Thank you for having me. I'm an addict. My name is Ramon. I'm from Holland. Hi, guys. Nice for you to have me speak in your meeting. I find it like a privilege, but also a bit scared or exciting, or I'm not sure yet. I'm not used to doing this, and especially not used to doing this in a camera and with recordings and stuff like this. But I do like to share in meetings, and I do love Narcotics Anonymous and the program and how it works in my life. And you know, I think it's an opportunity for maybe, you know, I don't know, but maybe some people get something from it. And so I'll do my best, yeah, to make it an interesting story, but being truthful and stuff like that. So if it is okay, I would like to start with a small moment of silence so I can get my my head a bit calm and my breathing a bit normal. And so if you please join me or not, that's up to you, but I'm gonna take it, yeah. Okay, thanks. Well, I'll start with a little bit of my history and where I came from. I won't go into big stories about using and stuff like that, because it's not really really interesting. And also, it's not really helpful. I mean, for me, when I grew up, even as a young kid, I know there was something different, or I experienced life, I think, in a different way than most people used to do. I always find myself in a place where I thought that I didn't belong there. And I could make friends, I could hang out with people or play with them, but I always felt like kind of off or something, like something was missing, I was not complete. And at a young age, way before I started using, I already knew that with certain games I could do, or like with food, I could like alter my state, or in playgrounds when things would spin around really hard, you know, it would give me some kind of a bust, and I was always keen to seek these things out. Then as I grew older, this whole thing to, you know, seek thrill seeking, I think it's called in English, you know, when you go out and you want excitement and stuff like that, I had that. So at a young age, I was already, like, you know, doing in Holland we say kattenkwaad. I don't know what's the word, but it's like you know, stuff that kids do as a way of playing, but it's also already, you know, I can't remember the word. Well, I'll leave it there. But it progressed from that on to. Doing then. School, I went to I think it's secondary school or high school, or, you know, the school you go after the primary school. When I was like age of 12, I first came in contact with substances, and I started with, I'm gonna touch it a little bit so it's clear that it's like a progression in between the substances, but not dwell on it. But it started off with smoking cannabis, and it felt like coming home. I really enjoyed the whole scenery about it. It felt like it made me complete in a certain way. And you know, I always looked at other people. Most of them were like older, and they were up to other stuff. And in a way, it got me excited to also want to try it. So from the age of I think it was about 14, 15, I was
Ramon, we're losing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Ah, okay. And is it recording again?
Yeah, it's recording.
Okay. I'm sorry for that, Kim, that I got mixed up. But I think the last part that I was talking about was like the progression of the disease and how my using evolved. And that I changed the substances and got curious for more. And like And that's what drugs did. It sort of made me feel complete, and it made me you know, enjoy life better, basically. And I just wanted to feel good about myself and about life and don't worry too much. And I thought that with doing drugs, I had finally found that, and that it made my life better and it made my life complete. And then after a while of using, especially certain chemicals, there were consequences, you know, for my health, for my money. It costed me, I don't know, school, later on jobs, my own company, when I was, you know, as an adult. It took away a lot of stuff, but for some reason, it was always worth it just to go on with it, because the idea of not having to use anything, you know, it made me crazy. The obsession to use was really there all the time. And I knew along the way that it was becoming a problem, and that the consequences were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I have during also from I think somewhere in my teen times, I started seeking out help, and not to seek help with quitting drugs, but to get my life manageable, or, you know, make it work. And I never had the idea or the wish to be to have a life without drugs. I mean, that was unthinkable. To me, people that didn't use were left out a lot of good things in life. And these thoughts and this way of thinking kept my addiction going, of course. And also, when I went for help or when I went for treatment, what I found was that they always, you know, when they were talking to me and saying, oh, what my wish was, and I always remember myself telling them that I want to use like normal people do, you know, maybe just in the weekends or on special occasions or with big parties and raves or whatever, but not on a daily basis and not as much. And I tried that, but that never worked, you know. I always went back to full commitment on using substances. Because I could no longer stop. And on one side, I wanted to change my life and I want to feel good about myself. But the other hand, like I said before, the idea of totally stopping with drugs was not an option to me. And the times that I did quit with drugs, the obsession to use was very, very, very huge. It's like, if people don't have this experience, they cannot relate. But you know, to me, it's like the most horrible feeling that there is, you know, only the feeling of despair that came later on, like having tried all these things. I moved houses, I moved even between countries, I moved between jobs, exactly as all the reading cards tell us, you know, and we tried different kinds of help, and there seemed to be no solution, just, you know, the option just to go on and kill myself with drugs, or you know, quit living and you know, suicide myself or do other crazy stuff. And and on my quest to get like you know, like a normal human being, I ended up in 2004 a monastery in Thailand, which was quite a hardcore way of detoxing, and I experienced there some stuff they were on about. It's also in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, the spiritual side of the program and meditation and things like that. And I got some belief and some hope, and I, in a way, I thought I was cured there. So when I came back and I lost all these things that I learned there, it's like exactly in the chapter in the basic text with recovery and relapse, you know, the whole thing started, you know, from start to end again, only this time picking up pace much more quick, and the consequences they went further. And you know what people say, like rock bottom is not a fixed point. Well, it's not a fixed point, it's just a point where you come maybe ready to try something else or something different. And you know, because there is no bottom with drugs. There's only this point where we want to change, maybe. because I was in the business of killing myself, and I set like an end date on my life, you know, because I also had a lot of fear of growing old and you know, to become ill, or you know, all these things, and also these things always kept me using. And then in the end, some people say it was not for the right reasons or not for the right motives, but I had again got myself into a treatment facility that was in 2012. It's like a final it's sometimes a bit hard to find the correct word. Well, it was basically, for me, I was like 33 or something, and I had been using for 22 years then at that point. And it was like, you know, I was, you know, feeling shitty and, you know, fed up with life, fed up with myself, and, you know, completely freaked out. The drugs were not using anymore as they used to. So where at first they would help me to be under with people, or to communicate, or to socially interact with people and to do things, in the end, it just kept me like a prisoner, you know, like a rat, locked myself up, you know, doing binges all night long. During the day, I could only get out of bed if I had been using. I was only thinking about using, you know, like the reading cards, you know, and trying to find ways and means to get more. And also, I was very tired of all the lying, you know, and always playing like life was good and I had all these things happening for me, like a house, a relationship, I had work and all these things. But from the inside, I was dead. And like the literature says, maybe like in a spiritual way, I was already dead, you know, my body was still around, also, you know, deteriorating from all the using and the lack of sleep and, you know, crazy lifestyle. But, you know, this being spiritually dead is really a nasty thing. And so when I got myself into that treatment in 2012, that was the first time that I really got connected with NA, or that I really heard from it, because I know the other program, the 12-step program, which I saw in movies or in series, and I would never ever thought that it would end up in a room like that, you know, with people and hugging each other and having candles. And, you know, I had a lot of crazy thoughts about these things, but it was more like a cult or a sect, and it was all like weak people coming together, crying together. And no, that was not my my thing. But in this clinic where I was after the initial detox that took a couple of weeks, they did some kind of an indoor meeting for new people in their treatment facility to get some understanding of, you know, the actual meetings outside and what the program was. And so, and I read these reading cards, and they had like, who's an addict, why are we here, and that really hit home for some reason. It made so much sense what was in these little lines, and it felt like so much recognition, you know, from the start, that I was kind of like sold on the idea that this was maybe, you know, my way out, because I tried many things before, you know, regular treatment and psychiatrics and the whole shebang, and it never really worked. And so I really could relate to the stuff that was written in the book, and I got excited and I wanted to read and know more about it. And even though the meetings at first sort of, you know, put me off, there's a lot of references to God in our basic text, especially. And I was like, what the fuck, I'm not into this. And I had some people telling me from the start that this word God, it shouldn't put me off, you know, I could easily change it to good, or, you know, good orderly direction, or the gift of desperation. And this last one, it really made sense to me, you know, that the gift of desperation, and I could replace that for the word of God. So from that point on, I started reading it, and, you know, the information that was in the book, I could absorb it, and I really like reading it. Not so much the stories in the back, but like the chapters in the front. The steps made no sense to me. There were a lot of words that didn't, you know, ring a bell, like all these spiritual principles about, you know, gratitude and sharing is caring and all these things. I read it and I would think, oh, what? what is this? You know, some words I even get like itches, long time in recovery, because it was, it felt so weird. And also the hugs and everything. I had a difficult time with that. But after there came some, I don't know, some relief. It's by lack of better words. You know, while reading the book and going to the meetings, even in the clinic back then, I understood that there was something special about the meetings, and I couldn't really, have it clear what it was or what happened there. But I understand there was something special going on, and we visited different meetings. But I know from my experience and my life that I could relate most to what I found in Narcotics Anonymous. So we also did meetings of the other fellowship. And I know that Narcotics Anonymous made most sense to myself. But in that clinic, basically, they said, when you go out of here, what we suggest you to do is do as much meetings as you can in any anonymous fellowship that is there. You know, it's all the same. You just go there and you meet people and do nice things and your life will change. And so I had a rough time because when I came out of the clinic, I went to several different fellowships and different meetings. And I liked it. I enjoyed it. And I talked to the people and I drank the coffee. And but for my recovery, it wasn't really working. And to be honest, I didn't understand that while I was in that situation, because everywhere where I came, I could wear like a mask because I was like a visitor everywhere. I didn't really commit to groups. I just committed to the meetings. You know, I did some service, but it was not like selfless in any way. It was more, you know, to get like some prestige out of it or some. But over time, I got some understanding, and also through working with a sponsor, which is, I think, is such a big part of this program, next to, you know, the total abstinence part, which is kind of like a dirty word nowadays in Narcotics Anonymous, which was also in clinics in Holland, and I'm not knocking clinics, but it's you know, they treat the disease of addiction in a lot of times by attacking the symptoms like the depression or the anger or the fear or the mood swings with other chemicals. So a lot of people, they basically change from street drugs into prescription drugs, and I didn't want to do that for myself, because I knew it would be, you know, more of the same, and I already tried it. And I believe what I read, it is could work for me. But then in the fellowship, it was still a pretty common thing in Holland, you know. And also I had this belief for other people that if they want to do this way of recovery between lines, you know, that was a perfectly sane thing to do. And then a little later on, as I understand more of the program, and I got like a traditional NA sponsor, you know, lights went on in my head, like how some people never really get a chance to really fully recover, or, you know, experience recovery, NA as it was, created back then, but have like a diluted form of it. And for me, this was a magical moment, you know, like, wow, it made so much more sense from that point on. And it was, and I forget a really big magical moment, or like, special moment. And I was out of the clinic. And that was the moment when the obsession to use was gone. And it was not gone from the one day to the another. But there was, on a certain day, I thought, hey, I haven't been thinking of drugs in a compulsive way, you know. And it was like, wow, this is magical stuff. And I had quit before, but this obsession to use was always there. It was always a big fight, you know, always having these feelings and these sensations. And I always ended up going back to using, because after a little while of clean, I would get really, really mad in the head, you know, insanity at its peak, because all the things that I had stuffed away with using would start boiling up. Also, all the positive feedback I would get from people when I was quitting using or when I lessened my using, they were also all these compliments faded away, and I was, you know, stuck with all my fears and all my shortcomings and shit like that. You know, life got unmanageable, and that was also what's in the book, that it says, you know, that addiction, as Narcotics Anonymous sees it, is so much more than just the using of drugs, or, you know, just the stupid things we do when we're under influence of drugs, or how we get our drugs, or what we do to get our money for drugs. And you know, and on hindsight, you know, looking back on that, yeah, I understand, you know, even in times when I didn't use, that the disease is still progressive, and I still get, you know, crazier if I don't work a solid program with a sponsor and truly trying to apply these principles. Now I have a sponsor that really, really is into all that. And he's not a very easy person at times. You know, he can be very direct, and he can, you know, you know, I hate it when people call me on my shit. That is one of my problems. and he does this a lot. And, you know, and then I call with him, and then I say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, in my head, I want to throw the phone away and not do anything with it. But then it turns out, like, you know, in the end, he always get it. He had it right, you know, and I have to make, you know, I make amends, or I make changes to my life. And so every time I prove to myself this whole self-sufficiency and you know, living on my own will, it doesn't work, even if I stop using. And and the whole thing with the spiritual principles, I mean, a lot of these words I had, you know, from a young age, a certain understanding with certain words, what I thought they would mean. But then doing step work with a sponsor and using a dictionary, all these things get like kind of a different meaning. And also the whole, how do you say, some of these concepts really had to change that I had of these principles or life in total. And that is a pretty hard thing. And I was stuck in the current step guide that I use, you know, the traditional one, a long time in step one. And it's not because I'm stupid, but because I was, you know, sometimes I was lazy, or sometimes I thought other things were more important. And sometimes I would like overanalyze, you know, and I wanted to understand things before I put them to practice. And, you know, that really frustrated my recovery a lot. And, you know, I kept it clean since I first came in NA, for which I'm very grateful. But there was not a lot of surrender in the first bit of it, you know. It was mostly on my gums. It was, you know, fighting the disease. And, you know, I was very glad that I found people that seemed to have, like, this 30-year-old resentment going on. And so I could rebel with the whole book thing. And but those, in the end, were not the spiritual solution that is written in the book. It was actually the disease without doing drugs, you know, sort of how do you say, like in disguise or something. And I had no clue about especially the principle of surrender. I would do some surrender and try to accept certain stuff, and I would do the serenity prayer a lot, you know, reseating it to myself, you know, talking it in the mirror, talking it when I was on the bicycle or in the car, like a mantra, keep repeating. But really applying the words in this prayer, I never really did it. And I sort of was stuck in step one for a long, long time. And my sponsor, he gave me direction, and he gave me suggestions. But in a lot of times, it was my self-will that came in between, you know, and I said, oh, I'm not doing this, or I want to do it on my way. And he said, well, you probably like it in the mud because you keep staying there. And I never understood. I thought, I do all these things, you know. I go to meetings. I do prayers. I write. I read. I have contact with a lot of people in the program. but still it's like it's not happening for me, it's not working, what am I doing wrong? And then I found all these reasons why it was wrong, and it was basically not my doing, of course. It was either God hating me or this program, you know. I kept myself in Willy Wonka land again, like I did with drugs, you know. Now I started believing this fairy tale, and it was all bullshit. And I had so many times that I just stayed clean for the fact that I didn't want certain people to know or to hear that I was, you know, back to using. I wouldn't, you know, grant them that bit of fun, which is also very twisted, of course, way of thinking. But as long as I stayed and worked with this sponsor, and also had some you know, some friends in the program, also some foreign friends that I would speak of, you know, like in the weekend in October or through Skype or on Radio Free NA, you know, some puzzles, pieces of the puzzle would fall in place. And yeah, so it made a lot of more understanding how that I am the problem, that my life is unmanageable because of, you know, I'm powerless over a lot of stuff happening on the outside, but my reaction to that, you know, there is influence there, and there's also a responsibility for me to take there. And to have responsibility is not something that I as an addict really ever cultivated. You know, and also, like, to have a work ethic. I mean, I can work, and I have an ethic, and I like to do good. But a minor setback, I would, you know, toss the towel in the corner and say, fuck it, you know. And that's not surrender. That's, like, more submission. Or I would leave. And so I learned a lot of stuff in NA. And the biggest thing that I learned here, I think, is that I, you know, I should stay. Nobody can force me out. You know, only myself, I can force myself out and lose hope and faith. So I should just stay and follow suggestions the best I can, you know, and have the blind faith, because basically that's what it is. I can learn and understand the experience of people before me, that recovery is possible, and that, you know, there is, and I know in my being that there is a greater power, you know, God or whatever anybody wants to call it, this greater power. Because, you know, there's so many signs along the way. And for me, the biggest proof of that there is a God in our fellowship is the way our literature was written, you know, how the book you read in the beginning of the meeting, the gray book was being created, you know, and then later on the basic text, of course, and all the drama with it. But, you know, that for me is like big proof that there is a God. And also for me to have lost the obsession to use, you know, is for me a lot of proof that there is a God. But it goes so much further than just drugs, and it also goes so much further than just lose the obsession to use. You know, I need to change my personality and the way I interact with the world, the way I think, my attitudes. And there's a lot of work there, and it's still going to be a lot of work, you know. And then, and if you look into the steps, and they're all written in a certain, I don't know the word, like you go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, you know, there's a big idea behind that. And, you know, today I am willing to work the steps in that way that they were written, because at first I, you know, I could understand that my life was shit. But then I would like to tell everybody how NA would work, you know, and that's not very a humble thing to do, but, you know, it's madness, basically. But, you know, I see it a lot, and I'm not unique in it, thank God for that. But, yeah, sometimes it scares me, you know, that I think that I'm in recovery now for, like, 7 years or in NA, and that I missed out a lot of time, you know, being sidetracked with a flat book step working guide that, you know, it kept me clean, but it didn't get me any sanity, basically. You know, I lost some years with that, but that's already the disease, you know, acting up again. And the disease acts up in a lot of ways in my life today. You know, sometimes it's very obvious, but sometimes it's also very subtle. You know, it's this empty feeling again that I don't belong, or, you know, when I look into the mirror and I started hating myself. And it's not as intense as it used to be, but it is still there, you know, it's always lingering.
And that maybe is also like the chronical part of the disease, you know, it won't go away even if we stop using. So I've committed myself to this NA way of life, and you know, I try to follow the suggestions. I like the stuff that is written in, like the IP of the five tools, which is very powerful. I really, you know, love the idea of total abstinence, even if today in NA it's not everywhere. You know, in a lot of meetings it's like a bad word. And in my opinion, you know, they water down the program, and they also limit the power of God, you know, of our understanding that everybody can have. And so I do my best to always share at the meeting, to do service, to read and write, and to stay in contact, because, you know, all these little things, you know, make living possible. You know, and I have good days, I have bad days. You know, today I understand that the day always begins and will always end, no matter how shitty it seems to go. You know, I can always write like a gratitude list, which is one of the principles. It's like an action principle, which is easy to apply. You can take a pen and write about it. And, you know, it will help me change the state that I am. Maybe not like Harry Potter would do with a magic wand, but it does take away some of the sharp edges, you know. And other principles I would love to understand and cultivate and develop, but they are like more like byproducts from applying other principles. So it's like, you know, and this on one side, it really gets me really excited and enthusiastic, and on the other side it gets my fear going again, you know. Like, what if I don't understand it all? And what if I do it wrong? And blah, 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 blah. And this whole train in my head starts, you know, go off to the races again. And then again, the importance of a sponsor, you know, that always takes me back with both legs on the ground, you know. My friends in the home group, same thing. You know, when I committed to one group and when I see these people nearly on a daily basis, they can give me back real stuff that I need to hear. You know, instead of, you know, just make fun and laugh. And because in the end, you know, the disease is killing a lot of addicts. And if I don't get the feedback, and if I don't change myself or have the willingness to change myself, you know, with the help of God and the program, you know, I suck at life. And the disease will come back, and it will come back hard. And I've seen that happen in the couple of years that I'm now in NA with a lot of people, you know. And so it's always good to stay connected and to keep reading, and even share through Skype on different meetings, which is which is scary and very different thing than I would normally do. And but I'm glad I got the opportunity to do it, and I hope that my story wasn't too vague or too going from one to the next to the next to the next, because the thing with the noise and that, you know. That you guys lost me, huh? In the beginning of the share, it got me a bit of goofed up in the head. But I truly want to thank you guys for having me share in your meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.